Radyo Bhagavan Vridhisattanayo Tadhamam Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Vraja Vaguvagena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Prema Pahato Pramarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mapur Mahaprabhu Matamidam. Sasha, what's the last line? Matamidam. If you don't know, how should I know? Tatra pitanapara. That means, you know what the verse means?
That it's a statement. Some say it's by Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, and some say it's by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur,
explaining the truths that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held most dear or established. And the first is Aradhyo Bhagavan Brijesh Tanayor, that the highest worshipable object, or that which should be worshipped by everyone, is Brajesh Tanayor, the son of Nanda Maharaj. The Braja Isha. That is, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj? Krishna. There is no other object of worship that is more wonderful than the perfection of the soul. And similarly, as Krishna is worshipable, is Tadhidamam Vrindavanam, is the holy land of Vrindavan. And then, Ramya Kachid, Vraja Vadu Vagena Vakalpita, that the way to worship Krishna that's most pleasing is the way established by the Vraja Gopis. The Vraja Gopis worship Krishna in the most, the highest worshippers of Krishna. And then, so that's three in there. Then there's Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, that the highest and purest of pramans or methods, or the highest authority of proof of as to what the conclusions, the actual philosophical conclusions are, is established by Srimad Bhagavatam. And the goal that's established, the highest goal that one can achieve, is prema pramato mahan. This is the greatest goal, prema, or love for Krishna. So see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Matamidam, that these were established by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tatrapata Napuram, in his opinion, that these are the highest of all things. So because it's Mahaprabhu's opinion, it also becomes everyone else's opinion. He's establishing these items. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is Pramanam Amalam. It is the spotless, purest proof, highest authority in establishing what the Absolute Truth is. So we're reading from this Absolute Truth, Srimad Bhagavatam, towards the end of the 31st chapter. So if Krishna allows, we will complete the 31st chapter and possibly begin some of the 32nd chapter, which is the next to last chapter. 32nd chapter is the basically the final chapter of Kapila Muni's instructions, which was started so long ago, so many chapters back, and actually this whole pastime started talking about Kardama Muni, Kardama and Devahuti, because Here, Kapila Muni is speaking to his mother, Devahuti. So it starts at Manuad Kardama, which means text chapter 31, 21. So we're up to 10, 11 chapters ago. We'll be finishing the 11th chapter of this pastime right now. So Kapila Muni has explained First, the process of Sankhya to get out of the material world by mixing the Gyan with yoga, and ultimately concluding in bhakti. And then Devahuti asked about fruitive activities and time, because she wanted to awaken within our hearts the detachment from matter which is required to make spiritual advancement. How sad it is we're attached to matter, and we've heard the results of that attachment to matter. We've been hearing that in the last several chapters. And basically, attachment to matter means suffering. Suffering what? Repeated birth and death, and that's not all. Repeated birth and death, and then after death, there's repeated suffering of different varieties. So, the cause of this is the attachment to matter, as if we, by combining with matter, could become satisfied and become complete, because everyone in this world is feeling so incomplete. Why? Because we are not complete in this world, because we are separate from Krishna. Not that we are actually separate from Krishna, because His energy is everywhere. Stavaram jagamam dekina deki taramoti sarvatraya nija ishta deva spurti, a pure soul will see everything a manifestation of Krishna. And also ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhishaya junatishati. We're not actually separate from Krishna. Vishnu shakti paraprokta chaitra gyakyata tapra. We are Krishna's internal energy also. So we're his energy, we are not separate from him, we're surrounded by him, he's in our heart. But yet in our consciousness we are separate from him. Only in our consciousness we have turned our back on him. Krishna Bhuli say, Jeevanadirvahimu. So very sad, we have turned our back on Krishna. And therefore we are feeling lost, empty, and we are trying to become satisfied by putting so many material things in the hole in our heart. There's a hole in our heart, some pieces missing. That is Krishna. We're trying to put so many material things in there of different varieties, and nothing satisfies. Nothing satisfies. So Kapila Muni is explaining, Devahuti is actually prompting him on this regard. Please speak about fruit of activities and time, because I want to become detached from material things, because I no longer want to fill my life with material things. Previously I was in ignorance, and you, by your merciful instructions, you have removed that ignorance, but yet I want to be further detached. And actually she's saying that for us, because we need the further detachment, because we have a hope somewhere, and an addiction, a hope that material things will make us happy, and an addiction, a horrible, nasty habit, an addiction to exploiting the world of matter and trying to be comfortable here. So Kapila Muni very strongly explained the results of fruitive activities, adverse fruitive activities, and the suffering at every stage of life, and then afterlife and death, so much suffering, then rebirth and suffering, and this hell and that hell, and getting one's arms lopped off and watching vultures eat our intestines. So much so that we heard about so much suffering, it's hard to keep on reading about it. Suffering, 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 suffering. And then so many different species of life, and then finally taking birth again in human life. Dolabam manusya janma tarappa dhruvam attadam. Because in human life one can get out, and the embryo within the womb, if he's very fortunate, he prays, "Oh Krishna, I don't want to have to go through this again. It's been so long. I don't, please, please, I'd rather stay in the womb, even though there's so much suffering attached to being in the womb, than go out into the material world and become again covered by illusion,
Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then we've heard that the child is born. What will happen to most children? They're born, forget all the suffering of the womb, and then try to enjoy again, get enamored by their family, get enamored by their desires in youth, get enamored by envy and ambition as they grow older, and then die again. So therefore, seeing this cycle, Kapila Muni warns us very strongly, and this is what we heard yesterday, against bad association, because atsatsang tyag, to give up bad association. Why? Because just as an infection is passed through sneezing or coughing or something like that, or association with a person who's infected. So similarly, we catch our material diseases by associating with materialistic people. So therefore, the injunction that Kapila Dev gave is to very carefully avoid open-hearted, especially, association with materialists, because what is in their heart will be transferred to our heart, and what's in their heart is the seeds of so many births, future births. And especially, he warned against association with members of the opposite sex in the mood of enjoyment, or associating with those who are attached to members of the opposite sex in the mood of enjoyment. So it is said that that's even worse. That's like if a man associates with women, if he's addicted to that. So there's still some etiquette and some shyness in association with women. But when one associates with men, when a man associates with a man who's attached to associating with women, oh, how they talk. There's no holds barred. Talk about anything. It was like this, it was like that. So it's even worse in placing material desires within the heart. So therefore, if we wish to avoid this vicious, very vicious cycle of birth and death based on material attachment, therefore, asatsanga tyag evaishnavachar. This is the one of the main activities or ways that a Vaishnava acts. He does not associate with materialists. So now, Kapila Muni, after describing that so strongly in 10, 11 verses that we heard yesterday, so strongly, directly, heavily, so strongly, shockingly strongly, now he's going to come to his conclusions at the end of this chapter, to the end of this chapter. So this chapter has 48 verses, we're up to text 43, and there's basically three conclusions that he's going to come to, which is really the conclusions of the series of chapters describing the misery of the repetition of the cycle of birth and death. And one, as Prabhupada will explain in purports, one should be afraid of this. And we should also, I remember when I was in the, maybe it was the 10th, grade in high school, I had a math teacher who was very strict but a very good teacher, and then he'd ask you something, and if you gave the wrong answer sincerely, he would always say, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." So being sincerely trying seems it's not quite sufficient enough. One has to be careful as well, and one has to be practiced and learn it too. And then ultimately, it's up to Krishna. So he's got three conclusions in these six verses, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. Three conclusions are going to be made. The first conclusion is, again, that we have to be very careful of association, because association gives the seeds of desires, and desires are the seeds of activities, and the activities are the seeds or the causes of reactions, and reactions and desires and activities are the cause of repeated birth and death. So be very careful of association, because it causes revolution in the cycle of birth and death. And then secondly, one should know the philosophy very carefully that we are not this body, that we are souls, and see how the law of karma forces us to evolve in birth and death and have to undergo so much suffering. And then finally, therefore, one should become detached. One can live in the world in any situation, but this enjoying spirit should be given up. That is what has to be given up. Not the dealing in the world. In fact, the dealing in the world can't be given up. How renounced can one be in this world? What will we be renounced from? Even there are sects in India who they're very renounced, so they don't wear clothes. They walk around without clothes. But are they renounced from breathing? I mean, to what extent can one actually be renounced, give up this world? Practically speaking, we have to eat, we have to breathe. We need some shelter, we need clothing, we need this, we need warmth, we need this, we need that. We can actually be renounced, but what we should renounce is that spirit of enjoyment. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya. And then act with detachment in this world in Krishna's service. Be attached to Krishna, not enjoying the material world. That is actually the art. Because the material world is not good, it is not bad. It is Krishna's energy. It depends how one uses it. So be detached from using it for our own pleasure. Because again, as we heard before, this enjoying spirit, bhunte prakriti janiya, enjoying spirit is what keeps us in the material world. So if we can just remove that one thing, and replace it with a serving spirit, serving Krishna. Then everything will be okay. So that's the final conclusion of this chapter. So we'll go through these verses. Dehena jiva bhutena loka loka manu vajan punjana eva kamani karotya viratam pumam dehena. On account of the body, jiva bhutena, possessed by the living entity. So the living entity possesses a body, and on account of that, loka manuvrajan, he goes from one planet to the next planet, practically speaking, from one body to another. Anuvrajan, he's wandering from one place, from one situation to another, because of his body. And what is not just the body, but bunjana eva karmani. And he has to enjoy, because of his enjoying his fruit of activities. And karoti aviratam pumam, the person, the living entity, he's enjoying his fruit of activity, and he incessantly reaps the fruit of his work and has to suffer the reactions, wandering from one planet, one situation to another, one body to another. Prabhupada's translation. Due to his particular type of body, the materialistic living entity wanders from one planet to another, following fruit of activities. In this way, he involves himself in fruit of activities and enjoys the results incessantly. Bahurupayavadi mayaya bahurupaya. And the material energy awards him with one body after another. So many forms that we can have. Unlimited forms. So many thousands and millions of different bodies. Purport. So this is why, to avoid bad association, to stop getting infected with material desires, to stop the cycle of birth and death. When the living entity is encaged in the material body, he is called jiva bhuta. And when he is free from the material body, he is called Brahmabhuta. By changing his material body birth after birth, he travels not only in the different species of life, but also from one planet to another. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entities bound up by fruitive activities are wandering in this way throughout the whole universe. And if by some chance or by his pious activities they get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, they get the seed of devotional service. What is that seed? It is a taste. It is a desire. It is the process of becoming an eternal servant of Krishna, Krishna Das. A taste for that. That is what is the seed of devotion that will grow into full love of Krishna one day. After getting this seed, if one sows it within his heart and pours water on it by hearing and chanting, the seed grows into a big plant, and there are fruits and flowers which the living entity can enjoy even in this material world. That is called the Brahmabhuta stage. In this designated condition, a living entity is called materialistic. And upon being free from all designations, when he is fully Krishna conscious, engaged in devotional service, he is called liberated. Unless one gets the opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of the Lord, there is no possibility of one's liberation from the cycle of birth and death in the different species of life and through the different grades of planets. So that kind of association frees us, and another kind of association binds us very tightly with material desires. It's all based on our desires. What we have to change is our desires. One type of association fills our mind and heart with so many materialistic desires, and another type of association fills us with spiritual desires. In this way, by this wandering, text 44, the living entity gets a suitable body with a material mind and senses according to his fruitive activities. When the reaction of his particular activities comes to an end, that end is called death. So here's what death is. When the reaction of one term of fruitive activities ends, it's called death. And when a particular type of reaction begins, that beginning is called birth. Purport. From time immemorial, the living entity travels in the different species of life and the different planets almost perpetually. This process is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmayan Savabhutani Yantra Rudhani Maya. Under the spell of Maya, everyone is wandering throughout the universe on the carriage of the body offered by the material energy. Materialistic life involves a series of actions and reactions. It is a long film of spool of actions and reactions, and one lifespan is just a flash in such a reactionary show. When a child is born, it is to be understood that his particular type of body is the beginning of another set of activities. And when an old man dies, it is to be understood that one set of reactionary activities is finished. That is what birth and death is. We can see, we can imagine some film. And we can imagine film meaning that, like put in a movie projector. So we can imagine a length of film stretching from here as far as possible that way and as far as possible that way. So that is the history of a jiva soul in the material world. And maybe on that film, this much. It goes all the way to Sorrento, and it goes all the way to, what's in that direction? Yeah? Fremantle, all the way to Melbourne. So I don't know which way, though. Anyway, from Fremantle to Melbourne. And this much is this life, and how many lives we have had. So the ending of this body is just a particular set of reactions that are finished. And the beginning of the body was the beginning of a certain set of reactions. And there's an allotment during that time. So in one sense, it's not very significant. We can see that because of different reactionary activity, one man is born in a rich family and another is born in a poor family. Although both of them are born in the same place at the same moment and in the same atmosphere. So two people may be born in hospitals, in the same hospital even, at the same time, two little babies awaken. And one goes to a rich man's house when they're taken out, and the other one goes to a poor man's house. Why? Different karma. One who is carrying pious activities with him is given a chance to take his birth in a rich or pious family, and one who is carrying impious activities is given a chance to take birth in a lower, poor family. The change of bodies means a change to a different field of activities. According to our karma, we have a different scope of activities which we can act in. Similarly, when the body of a boy changes into that of a youth, the boyish activities change into youthful activities. So this explanation of knowledge continues. When the eyes lose their power to see color or form due to morbid affliction of the optic nerve, the sense of sight becomes deadened. The living entity, who is the seer of both the eyes and the sight, loses his power of vision. In the same way, when the physical body, the place where the perception of objects occurs, is rendered incapable of perceiving, that is known as death. When the senses no longer work, the living entity is dead. Not the living entity is dead, but the body is dead, and that's what is known as death. But for the soul, nityam shashvatayam parano, it never dies. But this is what is called death, the death of the body. When one begins to view the physical body as one's very self, that is called birth. The identification of the body or the soul thinking that the body is him, that is called birth. Prabhupada's purport about half the way through. So, because the body is the soul's instrument of activities in conditioned life. When one's instrument of action is broken and cannot function, that is called death. When the soul can no longer function through a particular body, that is called death. Again, when one gets a new instrument for action, that is called birth. This process of birth and death is going on at every moment by constant bodily change. The final change is called death, and acceptance of a new body is called birth. That is the solution to the question of birth and death. Actually, the living entity has neither birth nor death, but is eternal. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Nahanyate Hanyamane Sharire. The living entity never dies, even after the death or annihilation of this material body. Therefore, one should not view death with horror, nor have recourse to defining the body as soul, nor give way to exaggeration in enjoying the bodily necessities of life. Realizing the true nature of the living entity, one should move about in the world free from attachment and steadfast in purpose. So this is the point, or one of the main points that he's making. One should live in this world, understanding this life in perspective, in its actual perspective, that we're a soul and we've had hundreds and thousands of lives, and that this life accrues to us karma. And due to that karma, we take our birth, the soul takes its birth in a body, he identifies with the body, that's called birth, and it has its reactions to live out. And then he grows, gets some maturity, makes some byproducts, children, dwindles, and then the body, when it no longer can function any longer, no longer the senses can't work through it, the body dies, that is called death, and the soul goes on to another body according to its karma. So therefore, one should realize this and live one's life moving in the world, understanding that we're a soul, and move from free from material attachment and steadfast in purpose. Steadfast in purpose. What is the purpose So for certainly not recommending material activities is the purpose that we should be steadfast in. But our Krishna, the cultivation, the development of Krishna consciousness, we should be fixed and steadfast in that as the purpose of our life, not to enjoy purport. A sane person who has understood the philosophy of life and death is very upset upon hearing of the horrible, hellish condition of life in the womb of the mother or outside of the mother. But one has to make a solution to the problems of life. A sane man should understand the miserable condition of this material body. Without being unnecessarily upset, he should try to find out if there is a remedy. The remedial measures can be understood when one associates with persons who are liberated. It must be understood who is actually liberated. The liberated person is described in Bhagavad Gita, one who engages in uninterrupted devotional service to the Lord, having surpassed the stringent laws of material nature, is understood to be situated in Brahman or liberated. So what's the Bhagavad Gita verse that describes that? Sahasra is saying it. Well, it says he's always engaged in uninterrupted devotional service, is liberated. Anyone know? Do you know? Smam chayo vibhacharena bhakti yogena sevate. One, vibhacharena means without falling down or incessantly. Mam chayo who bhakti yogena sevate. One who is serving me in devotion continuously, uninterruptedly. Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan. These modes, sagunan samatityaitana, he transcends. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. And he comes to the level, the platform of Brahman. And Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. And I am the basis of that Brahman platform, the spiritual platform, Krishna says. That's what a sane person should do. Prabhupada continues, when one is fixed, one should be steadfastly engaged in devotional service. Text 47 at the end of the purport, the last paragraph. While discharging devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, one should not be miserly. He should not unnecessarily show that he has renounced this world. Actually, renunciation is not possible. If one renounces his palatial building and goes to a forest, there is actually no renunciation, for the palatial building is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the forest is also the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he changes from one property to another, that does not mean that he has renounces. He was never the proprietor of either the palace or the forest. Renunciation necessitates renouncing the false understanding that one can lord it over material nature. When one renounces this false attitude and renounces the puffed up position that he is also God, that is real renunciation. Otherwise, there is no meaning of renunciation. Rupa Goswami advises that if one renounces anything which could be applied in the service of the Lord and does not use it for that purpose, that is called Falgu Bhairagya, insufficient or false renunciation. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything can be engaged in the service of the Lord. Nothing should be used for one's sense gratification. That is real renunciation. Nor should one unnecessarily increase the necessities of the body. We should be satisfied with whatever is offered and supplied by Krishna without much personal endeavor. We should spend our time executing devotional service and Krishna consciousness. That is the solution to the problem of life and death. The final verse in the chapter. Endowed with right vision and strengthened by devotional service, and a pessimistic attitude towards material identity, on one hand strong Krishna consciousness, on the other hand quite a lot of pessimism and cynicism about material identity, identifying with the material body. One should relegate his body to this illusory world through his reason. Thus, one can be unconcerned with the material world. The body is going on under the laws of material nature and has nothing to do with me. Let it go on. This is jnana, this is knowledge. The last paragraph in the chapter of the purport. The devotee's intelligence is always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His attitude towards this material existence is one of detachment, for he knows perfectly well that this material world is a creation of illusory energy. Realizing himself to be part and parcel of the Supersoul, the devotee discharges his devotional service and is completely aloof from material action and reaction. Thus, at the end, he gives up his material body or the material energy, and as pure soul, he enters the kingdom of God. So that's the conclusion. Next chapter, chapter 32. Now this chapter, the first half of it is going to describe many alternatives to this, many different practices or processes or ways of living one's life. So we've heard about the one who engages in adverse material activities, fruitive activities, selfish activities, but in a nasty way, and how he suffers. But that is not the only way one can engage in material life. That is an impious way. But in texts 1 to 4, there's going to be a pious way to try to enjoy the world. So we're going to hear about different processes in this chapter, in the beginning of the chapter, and what their result is. Because Kapila Muni wants to say that all processes we should give up except for giving our heart to Krishna. Pure devotional service we should engage in fully, and every other process doesn't have the result that will actually satisfy us. So we'll read the first four verses that here that describe one who dutifully performs his fruitive activities to try to enjoy in a pious material way by following Shastra. And what is the result of that? This is in one sense the opposite of what we heard about several chapters ago, of the one who is performing vikarma or activities against the Shastra. This one's gonna perform karma, good karma, punya karma, pious activities to enjoy. The personality of Godhead, Kapila Muni said, the person who lives in the center of householder life derives material benefit by performing religious rituals, and therefore he fulfills his desire for economic development and sense gratification. Again and again he acts in the same way. Such persons are ever bereft of devotional service, those who try to enjoy pious material life in a pious way. They are bereft of devotional service. Sachapi Bhagavad Dharmat. No Bhagavad Dharma. And actually Bhagavad Dharma is going to be, this is what is being promulgated by Kapila Muni and by Narada Muni and by Prahlad Maharaj and by Yamaraj. This is actually what everyone wants us to do, Bhagavad Dharma. It hasn't really been defined yet, but here it's mentioned that such people, they don't act in Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means basically acting in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. That is the basic definition of what our religion is, Bhagavad Dharma or Vanashrama Dharma. Acting, our activities are impelled to please Krishna by that desire. So the impious person is acting selfishly, not for Krishna's pleasure, in an impious, cruel, nasty way. And here a person is acting not to please Krishna, not in Bhagavad Dharma, but in a pious, selfish way. So So such persons are ever bereft of devotional service due to being too attached to sense gratification. And therefore, although they perform various kinds of sacrifices and take great vows to satisfy the demigods and forefathers, they are not interested in Krishna consciousness devotional service. Such materialistic persons, attracted by sense gratification and devoted to the forefathers and demigods, can be elevated to the moon, where they drink an extract of the soma plant. They again return to this planet. All the planets of the materialistic persons, including all the heavenly planets such as the moon, are vanquished when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, goes to his bed of serpents, which is known as Anantashesh. So this is the result, is that one, after a long time of enjoyment, relatively long, because remember that film that we were talking about is very, very long. So maybe our life of 100 years is on that film is maybe 2 feet, and it just goes through the projector in a flash. And maybe a demigod's life on the higher planets. So do we have that kind of faith in the eternality of the soul? That kind of trust in that we've taken so many material bodies of all varieties and all planets? That is all tested, what we've built up as far as our faith, strength of faith, our nishtha, is tested ultimately at the time of death. So these people who desire sense enjoyment, who don't have a relationship with Krishna, they have not cultivated that at all. No Bhagavad Dharma. So they get their reactions to their activities and they come crashing down from their high level enjoyment. They come crashing down. So we see this even in this world. In this life, you see someone he rises to the top he has some piety and he rises to the top of business and he's so powerful, he's controlling this market and that market, and then suddenly, within a day, finished, crashed down in prison. So that's what happens. In a flash. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, a grihastha is a person who lives with family, wife, children and relatives, but has no attachment for them. He prefers to live in family life rather than as a mendicant or sannyasi, but his chief aim is to achieve self-realization or to come to the standard of Krishna consciousness. Here, however, Lord Kapila is speaking about the griha medis, who have made their aim the materialistically prosperous life, which they achieve by sacrificial ceremonies, by charities, and by good work. They are posted in good positions, and since they know that they are using up their assets of pious activities, they again and again perform activities of sense gratification. It is said by Prahlad Maharaj, Punas Purnas Chavita Chavananam. They prefer to chew that which has already been chewed. Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatova. They have no inclination to serve Krishna because their attachment is to sense enjoyment, even though there is no true pleasure in it. Again and again they experience the material pangs, even if they are rich and prosperous, but they do not want to give up this kind of life. And in the purport to two, they maintain a materialistic person has manifold demands, and there are manifold demigods to satisfy his senses. The Grihamedis, who want to continue a prosperous materialistic way of life, generally worship the demigods or the forefathers by offering pindo or respectful oblations. Such persons are bereft of Krishna consciousness and are not interested in devotional service to the Lord. This kind of so-called pious and religious man is the result of impersonalism. So they think that I worship this god, And you worship that God, and whatever you worship, it doesn't make any difference. That's impersonalism. Panchopasana. They maintain that whether one worships the goddess Kali or the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu or any demigod, the destination is the same. Now this is Prabhupada speaking the way only Prabhupada speaks. This is first class rascaldom, and such people are misled. But they prefer this philosophy. Bhagavad Gita does not accept such rascaldom. And it is clearly stated that such methods are meant for persons who have lost their intelligence. The same judgment is confirmed here. And the word kammudha means one who has lost his sense or is infatuated by the lust of attraction for sense gratification. That term is used. Kama mudhas are bereft of Krishna consciousness and devotional service and are infatuated by a strong desire for sense gratification. The worshippers of demigods are condemned both in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is one type of so-called enjoyer of the material world. Another path. So there are many different ways one can live in the material world. The impious, selfish person, the pious, selfish person. Now here's another kind in text 5 through 7. But this is different actually. This is called Nishkam Karma Yoga. One who is living in his position, performing his occupational duties, but is detached, not attached, and he's cultivating Krishna consciousness. Those who are intelligent and are of pure consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Freed from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act. So, there are three different kinds have been described. One who does his duty impiously, not exactly the duty prescribed, but he acts something like the duty, tries to do his responsibilities, but against the Shastra. And he suffers like anything. And we just heard about one who performs his duties, but in a pious way, but he's attached. And here, one who performs his duties is described, but he's detached, not trying to enjoy, but he's acting dutifully because it's the right way to act. So by executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment, so we heard the result of the first one, the one who is acting sinfully, he goes to hell and really suffers. The one who is selfish, interested in sense gratification, but is pious, dutiful, he goes to heaven but comes down. So what happens to the one who is dutifully performing his activities with detachment for the purpose of Krishna consciousness? By executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment, and without a sense of proprietorship or false ego, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness. So what happens is one's consciousness is purified by detached work. And by thus executing so-called material duties, he can easily enter into the kingdom of God. And he makes his way gradually through this nishkam karma process to the spiritual world, spiritual life, and spiritual world. Through the path of illumination, such liberated persons approach the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and is the supreme cause of their manifestation and dissolution. So basically the point is that if one acts in a detached way and performs one's duties, one would become elevated in consciousness and approach the Lord. Okay, so we'll stop here. And tomorrow we'll continue. And here are some other alternative ways of acting and their results within the material world. And then we'll hear what Kapila Dev actually recommends. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
can actually be more enjoying more Krishna, how do you break this stage?
Because what's his pleasure? His pleasure is to see Krishna happy. So he becomes so happy when Krishna is happy. It surpasses Krishna's happiness. Something like that. So when Krishna sees the devotee has no other desire except to please him, Krishna reciprocates with that by giving him more happiness than even he has. Something like that. And then the devotee, Krishna becomes happy to see the devotee so happy. So Krishna's happiness then increases. And because the devotee is so happy. And then, because then the devotee sees that Krishna's happiness is increased, that's his happiness, so he gets happier. So then Krishna sees, oh, my devotee has gotten happier, so he still becomes happier more. So in this way, it's anandam buddhi vardhanam, it's an ever-increasing ocean of happiness by Krishna's mercy. So we're tiny souls and our capacity for enjoyment is tiny. But when we're on the pure spiritual platform of service to Krishna, our enjoyment reaches Krishna's level of enjoyment. Something like that. The example that Prabhupada would give is like, you're a poor man, just a servant. But if you're serving a very rich man, practically speaking, you drive in his car, you eat the food that he eats, you live in his house, so you're enjoying on almost an equal level. And you actually, you become great. Something like that. Is that okay? Or just in India, sometimes you see there's a person riding a bicycle. What example am I going to give? Huh?
Bus?
Yeah. So what happens?
The bus is going faster than the bicycle. So the bicycle rider, with one hand, holds onto the back of the bus. And then even though he's riding on his bicycle, he goes at the same speed as the bus.
Yeah. And he doesn't even have to do anything. He doesn't even have to pedal. So our happiness goes at the same level as Krishna's when we catch on to him very tightly, his service. And we don't have to do anything. But you have to pedal hard to catch up to the bus to grab on. Like that. Huh? It still works. Just a little harder to catch up. Huh? No, it works with a skateboard. Don't worry.
It seems to be very hard for most people who aren't devotees to try and understand how they can become happier by not enjoying the senses, and for a lot of people, would sound unrealistic to say, well, if you don't enjoy, for your own sense gratification, you can become happier by serving.
But it's not so hard for them to understand that by trying to enjoy their senses, they don't become happy.
They think they're happy.
At what stage of the life do they think they're happy? When they're 70?
Well, little stages, I guess. I guess they have little goals and they work towards something. So, and then they get that, and then they think, okay, now they're willing to work again to get to decide not to do this, to go on.
And then you lose everything at death.
Yeah.
And then you've worked your whole life to build up something and you lose it at death. Does that make you happy or miserable?
Well,
the pain of dying?
I said it's awful to do that.
That's, we say that's death, not life. We say life is something different. So we say, of course, you can do something about it. But the fact is, no one likes it. No one likes diseases and to lose your kidneys and to lose your eyesight and to be old and wrinkly and weak. So weak that you can't even ride your skateboard anymore. It's so inconceivable, isn't it? But it will happen.
But then there's so much enjoyment. I mean, you're not suffering at the moment. Why do you feel like that you want to suffer? I mean, why not just enjoy the good things, like the Sunday, you know, walk in the park or like swim in the beach or something like that? They say things like this.
They say that enjoy the good things. Why?
Why harp on about the bad things? Even if things happen to you, you're not
but if you can do something about it, it's like if you have some horrible disease, and you're not going to just think that, why think about it? Just go take a walk in the park and have a good day because it's a sunny day. When something heavy happens to you like that, you can't do that. And that's intelligent, because you should do something about the problems, not just ignore them, put your head in the sand, make believe as if they're going to go away because you want to enjoy a good sunny day. It's like the prisoner who gets condemned to death, right? So he's on death row, and then they say, you know, there's the knock on the door, and they say, what do you want for your last meal? And, oh, great. What do you want for your last meal? Carrots, okay. Okay. But you won't be able to enjoy them very much, will you? Because if you know you're going to die in an hour, how can you enjoy your carrots? Even if they're organic. Yeah, but we're talking about materialistic people trying to enjoy the simple things of life, trying to forget that they're going to die soon. So we acknowledge it. So we try not to get too entangled in the petty and trivial pleasures of life and try to get to the real business of solving life's real problems.
It seems that their vision is so covered that even, you know, you can even in a time of distress when someone's suffering even a self-realized soul might talk to some person in a time of distress, but the vision can be so covered that they, you know, for some time they'll go through the modes, you know, and then they'll feel their happiness again, and then they'll forget about it.
That's how powerful the illusory energy is, yeah. But not only are they like that, we happen to be like that too. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We forget. Because the illusory energy, Maya, is very powerful. Remember in 1976 when we went to Los Angeles, there was this fellow named Radhapati or something. And he was a medic. This was in the 70s, and he had come back from the Vietnam War and joined the movement. And he was a medic. And he used to say that they were in Vietnam, and you could always tell when the Vietnamese were going to attack an army camp the next day, because the night before, they would send in prostitutes with drugs, and they would all have venereal disease and things like that. And you could always tell that they were going to attack the next day because the prostitutes would come with drugs and everything like that. And yet everyone would try to enjoy and get venereal disease and take drugs and try to enjoy and get completely sick, intoxicated, knowing, because they don't want, that's how powerful the illusory energy is. People take heroin on the What do they even write on the cigarette packets now? That cigarettes kill or something like that? What does it say? Smoking kills. Now, it's so blatant. You know, it used to say, warning, the Surgeon General has determined that the cigarette smoking may be hazardous for your health. But now it says smoking kills. And still, people are smoking them. Smoking cancer sticks. Right? Because, so how powerful is the illusory energy? So it's not only those things which we giggle at, but all of life is more or less like that. Material life. But the intoxication, the attraction is so powerful. It's amazing. Yudhisthira Maharaj said this is the most wonderful thing, that living entities are dying at every moment, yet I think that I'm not going to die. It's the most wonderful thing. Wonderful in the sense of it's amazing. That's the illusory energy. That's what we're dealing with. Remember I don't know if you were in the classes, but in the beginning of Kapila Dev's teaching, it was describing how it was like attracted to the reflection, and the living entity that's Maya, and he loses his sense and he loses his purpose, he loses everything, loses his valuable human life. Or gambling, who always wins? The house always wins, right? So people go in there. And I remember that time we were in Christchurch years ago. It was around Halloween in October or something. It must have been around that time. And there was a casino, and above the marquee to the casino, there was this huge spider. There's a huge spider they had built up there. It was so ironic, because that's just what happens. You're just walking right into the web. And what happens when a little bug walks into the spider's web? He dies. And yet, everyone, hey, look at the spider, we're walking right into the web. Oh. How powerful the illusory energy is. Especially the association with the opposite sex for sex life. That's the greatest of intoxications, practically speaking. So much so that people are happy. They laugh and dance and walk into the web with a smiling face to die. That's how powerful it is. So therefore, Kapila Muni especially warned about that. And the way Prabhupada described it was actually so heavy that the man, he's dying, he's suffering, he's in pain, he can't talk. He doesn't know where he's going to go after he dies. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And he's worrying, oh, what will happen to my family when I go? How powerful this is. So, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dvartiya. Very hard to overcome this Maya. Impossible. But the impossible can be done by Krishna's grace. Mameva Te Prapanyante Maya Metantarantite. By holding on to Krishna's lotus feet of his dear devotees, tightly, can overcome. We better stop this night. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.